Tarmac stranding limits come to international flights at U.S. airports. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Yesterday, I started a conversation with Kate Hanai of Flyers Rights about a sweeping expansion of the year-old tarmac stranding limits imposed by the U.S. Department of Transportation to include a number of new passenger protections and a new stranding limit on international flights. Today, we'll wrap up the interview, starting with the timetable for the new rules announced by DOT earlier this month. Kate, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me again.
DOT says these rules should take effect in August. Do you expect that to happen?
My expectation is that they actually implement it on August 23rd, which is my son's birthday, and that was the longest gestation in history.
Oh, are you talking about the rule or your son?
I'm talking about the rule.
Okay.
Landon was born right on time, but this rule took forever. And, you know, and they actually have announced that August 23rd is the date for it being implemented. And, I suppose the airlines could ask for an extension, but they probably won't get it.
When it's that many months down the road, asking for an extension looks like gratuitous stalling.
It really does. And it's exactly what the airlines did for the three-hour rule for domestic flights. Right up until the very last minute, they were pleading with the government to extend for 6 months or 8 months, and they had all of these excuses. And the DOT stood their ground, very proud of them for being tough and saying, no, you've had 4 years to fix it. You didn't fix it. The rule begins April 29th.
Okay, now, this is interesting in trying to apply this to international flights because, it'll have to accommodate various treaties and agreements and code sharing and all this other stuff. And it also is going to require that the international airlines serving U.S. destinations report information to the DOT and the BTS that they have not previously had to do.
That's correct. It's actually a big win. We would have loved to have seen international at the same amount of time as domestic flights because, in general, international flights are longer than domestic flights. And we do feel that the longer passengers are immobilized, that their risk of fatal blood clots goes up. And it's not just us. I mean, that's what the medical community feels and the World Health Organization. But that said, it's still a very great step in the right direction, including international flights, because we believe international flights have been actually held longer on the ground ever since implementation of the domestic rule, because the domestic flights were a priority since they were subjected to these potential fines.
Okay, now, hearing from angry airline passengers has been your life's work for about 4 years now.
Yes, it has.
How big a problem is this with international flights, and how do you expect this to roll out and be received?
Well, we don't know the extent of the problem. We know that when the domestic rule went into effect, that we stopped getting calls from people on domestic flights who were stuck on the tarmac. And we had some increase in the number of calls from international flights. And where that showed up was in December when there were those huge storms at JFK.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 50 flights that sat between 4 and 15 hours on the tarmac. All were international air carriers. And I don't mean Delta flying internationally. I mean actually El Al, Cathay Pacific, Air Icelandic, Express, Australian Air. They all knew that we had a domestic rule, but they all took the risk and flew in anyway, knowing they might not be able to go to a gate and ended up often sitting between 12 and 15 hours over that 4 days before being allowed in. So clearly the international rule needed to happen. The reason we don't know the extent of it is that international flights have never been required to report tarmac delays. So in the same way that domestic flights, at first, when we took on this issue, diverted flights, canceled flights, and multiple gate return flights were not required to report. So we didn't have a complete picture. We've never had a complete picture of the impact of international flights on the tarmac. We only know when people know to call us. And since it's international passengers, they are less likely to know about Flyers' Rights than people who live in the continental U.S.
Okay, now, this gets logistically interesting when you're talking. I mean, for the same reason that the, just as international flights are often long flights, that pushes back the decision to make a flight hours earlier and possibly outside the business day of your destination when this thing is taking off. So you used the phrase, chose to fly in anyway and hope there'd be a gate.
How does somebody make that decision now on a flight that's going to be 8 or 9 hours? I mean, once they've taken off, they're kind of, you know, once they're well underway, they're kind of committed. You know, what options are open to an airline or an airline crew or dispatch operation if they find out partway through a flight that there's going to be delays or issues?
Well, I'm making an assumption here, but first of all, this was a 4-day situation. So after the first 24 hours, they must have known that there was a blizzard at JFK and that there was no ground transportation coming in or out. I mean, it was all over the news, and they must be in communication with operations in the U.S. I'm just assuming that. You know, it's not brain surgery to assume that they must be in communication and know these things. But the problem was it went on for 4 days. Planes continued to arrive from foreign destinations, knowing that none of the flights were being allowed into gates that had landed the day before and the day before that. Sometimes it was the same airline. And not all the flights were all that long. One of them was a 4-hour flight that ended up sitting for 12 hours. It was Cathay Pacific coming in from Canada. So, you know, it really was mystifying seeing this happen. Every day I woke up to news of more flights sitting on the tarmac, and I'm wondering, you know, who's talking? Who's communicating with each other? You know, why are they making these decisions? But it was so obvious that this was entirely an international flight problem, not a domestic flight problem. All the domestic flights were canceled appropriately and did not sit on the tarmac during that horrifying storm.
Okay, now, you have reason to believe that IATA, the International Air Transport Association, may be somewhat opposed to this. Talk about the lobbying effort that's going on in Congress and what you've seen from IATA to this point.
I love the way you language that. IATA hates flyersrights.org and hates the rule, and I don't think they can believe that it's gotten as far as it has, both with the Department of Transportation and Congress. So I began receiving 2 weeks ago calls from members of Congress in the Senate and the House saying that IATA and ATA were out in force with hundreds of lobbyists all over the Capitol going into offices with specific PowerPoint presentations that were prepared by airline industry consultants that were trying to say that the tarmac rule is the cause of every single flight cancellation in the U.S. and that it's an abject disaster. And obviously we're concerned because we are not there yet with counter propaganda, and we are putting that together now. But it really concerns me, and I'll tell you why. I just revisited an article from 1999. When John McCain was spearheading the Airline Passenger Bill of Rights. And the article was entitled, When Soft Money Flies In, an Airline Passengers' Rights Revolution Thwarted. And it was entirely about the money that went into both sides of Congress, both parties' coffers, in order to defeat the Airline Passengers' Bill of Rights. And in the 11th hour, John McCain and the rest of the people who said they supported airline passengers' rights walked away from it because they got lots and lots, millions and millions of dollars in soft money contributions to walk away. So we have a lot of concerns about what's really going on in addition to this propaganda material that we are very certain that they are pouring money into these transportation committees and many Senate and House offices to say, stop this, don't let it happen.
Kate, we need to take a break. More with Kate Hanai of Flyers Rights in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Welcome back to the ANN special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with Kate Hanai of Flyers Rights about a number of complex changes in the rules governing the airlines in the U.S. Kate, I'm glad we get to talk to you every couple months, because with all the minutiae involved in knowing your rights as an airline passenger, I've often thought there needs to be a book titled Booking an Airline Flight for Dummies.
For dummies, that's right.
But it's not dummies. I mean, smart people who just aren't experts in the airline industry are marks for these practices.
Yes, they are. And, you know, it's very interesting because the demographic of people flying is very different now than it was, say, 10 years ago or 15 years ago. You've got people, because fares in general are far lower than they were even 20 years ago, you have a very different demographic of people flying who are unwilling, if for lack of a better term, to go in and read their contract of carriage before they fly. They may not even know it's there. They may not even know that when they buy a ticket that they've signed a contract with an airline that affords them certain rights or a certain lack of rights, depending on how you look at it. And it's really become extremely difficult for most air travelers to navigate their way through the entire travel process from the time they book to the time they arrive at their destination, not knowing anything about the nuances of air travel and how things are really slanted not in their favor most of the time.
Well, given what your organization has had to go through, the things that you've uncovered and fought, and the obvious political battle that gets waged whenever change is tried, is there maybe a need for a third-party website that is not affiliated with the airline or selling tickets that just asks you for your departure and your destination and then lists your options and finer points of contracts of carriage? And, you know, for example, United Airlines just announced that they're going to do away with the discount on their first bag fee for those who book early, who commit to a bag early. And that's a very tiny, subtle, nuanced thing in the transaction, but it will add up to millions of dollars over time.
Absolutely. And there's another issue that just happened with Continental, who's now related to United. They are going to start charging a fee for returning your frequent flyer miles to your account when you cancel a ticket, a pretty significant fee. And that also is kind of a hidden deal. If you didn't see the email and you weren't aware it was going to happen, you're going to be charged to return your hard-earned frequent flyer miles into your account, like $100.
Well, to the as octopused as this thing has become, is there any way for anyone who's not an expert in this to be able to know what to watch out for?
Well, no. And that's why I'm asked all the time, what's the best airline? And I consistently will say Southwest, because it's so simple. You know, Southwest's credo is the airline industry is complicated, but taking care of the passengers is simple. Mm-hmm. And if all of the airlines had that motto, we wouldn't be talking about this. Southwest is the only one that continues to keep everything included in one fare. Their fares fluctuate, but that's fair, you know, based on fuel prices and hedging. But they continue to keep it very simple, and they continue to really address consumer issues every day whenever there's a breakdown with their airline. And none of the other air carriers that I can tell have that top of mind, and that's a problem. And I, you know, you're right about starting the next website. I've already reserved a website called Shrewd Traveler. And the Shrewd Traveler is going to illustrate all of those things, all of the different ways people should protect themselves, the most common complaints that we get, and how to avoid those situations from happening are all going to be on that website.
Interesting. We'll need to talk when that debuts, because I think that's going to, you'll have no trouble selling Google ads on that baby.
That's right. I would even think we might be able to book tickets on certain airlines, possibly. Based on that, we would prefer air carriers that keep everything transparent, like Southwest, so that you know exactly what you're getting. But I think there are some very simple things that we've discovered through time and the complaints that come to our hotline that would really help air travelers. As I was mentioning to you earlier before we got on this interview, for instance, giving yourself enough time for a connecting flight so that you don't end up being bumped from that connection. Putting a copy of your itinerary in your checked and carry-on bags so that if your bags are lost, that the airline can find you and figure out where you were coming from and going to. There are a lot of areas of the contract of carriage that we can very simply explain to people, like a summary of how most airlines contracts read. And those are the kinds of things I think people need to know before they fly.
Well, Kate, we always appreciate the chance to talk to you. You're a wealth of information we don't find anywhere else, and we'll watch this with interest and hope to catch up with you again.
Thanks so much, Paul. It's such a pleasure.
Kate Hanai is the founder and director of Flyers Rights. Find out more at flyersrights.org. That's Flyers with a Y. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.